If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when the spirit you're trying to communicate with comes through a device telling you that they are evil? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like, we'd really appreciate it if you want to support the show. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up to do that. Ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up, or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of the bonus material, the bonus episodes, everything. Everything that we got, you get, and everything is there for you, commercial free. $5 a month, ebook, audiobook, you get all that stuff. Sign up ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
Good, Tony. I am.
Anything new in the murder shed? Anything new entities around the house? Any fun?
No.
Fun things like that? No.
No, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
Although last night my cat likes to walk around the backyard in the dark, and so I follow her around because she can't go out unescorted. And I literally thought she was going to go into the murder she shed. And I was like, no, we don't go in there at night.
You can make it the cat house.
Hell no. Like, I had to kind of run in front of her and cut her off. I'm like, oh, we're not going in there.
Do you get vibes in the murder she shed?
No. But I've never been in there at night.
Okay.
And I, honest to God, full disclosure, I haven't actually been inside since I found those crutches all wrapped up.
So the crutches are still there. What if you went in there and the crutches were like unwrapped? They're just like in the corner, like someone used them.
Well, that's my thing. I'm like, how were they there for months and I never saw them to start with?
Yeah.
And now what if I look in there and they're not there?
And there's blood.
But I did take a picture of them and I sent the picture to you. So, yeah. And I still have the picture somewhere.
They exist.
But yeah, so isn't that weird? Like, I haven't been in there one time.
Well, you probably haven't wanted to go in there one time.
You know, not even like, maybe I should peek in and see if anything has showed up, but I haven't.
Is it usable for storage or is it not?
Well, I have a nice shed.
Okay.
So that's what I put all the stuff in.
It's like the backup shed.
Murder shed has like my wood for, like fire pit.
Okay.
And I haven't done a fire pit, obviously, since I found the crutches. So yeah, nothing's going on here. Thank God.
Yeah. I haven't had anything new. So that's good. No lights turning on and off or anything like that. So I think that's a positive.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. I really wonder though, it's the lights that I was having weird things going on with were very much happening at very high points of anxiety, emotion, things of that. And it was like, this is just weird because it hadn't really happened at all in the past. And kind of gotten down more calm, and things have kind of come to a calmer pace of life in the last couple of weeks or week, really days. I don't know. I lost track. And it doesn't happen quite as frequently or if at all, really. So I don't know.
It's interesting to me, you know, and I think it could be all connected.
And I don't even necessarily, I'm not saying it's like a ghost or anything that's doing it, but I these things, the light, the whole thing is on a remote. And I mean, either the remote's going bad or I don't know. I think our emotions can affect things like that sometimes. There's energy that's hitting things that we can't really tell why it's doing it. And it's not the dead. It's not anything like, it's just us. It's just, you know, we put off energy. And I think sometimes when it's really high or something's really off, I think sometimes those, whatever it is, affect, you know, certain things at certain times. Now, if it was a different light, maybe it wouldn't even affect it, but it's hitting something that affects whatever frequency, you know, messes with the switch on it. So I don't know.
Well, I'm here to tell you right now, if shit like that starts happening in my house, I am defaulting to a ghost. I'm not going to be like, oh, it must be my weird energy.
I think it's me.
I know me first thing. But you, I got a ghost.
But you know what? When I was younger, when I was a teenager, I could do the you've heard the term slider, where the lights turn on and off around you. I you know, and obviously teenagers, you have energy kind of everywhere. And people say quite often, especially with teenage girls, that that's a time where some folks will have poltergeist activity in their house, but it's not a ghost. It's just all this energy. I would have that. I would have that with street lights when I was a teenager. I swear to God, I could drive down a road.
I remember having a friend telling me the same thing, that she had the ability to turn street lights out. They I totally forgot about that.
They would do it. I know
just now.
Some have sensors. I know that. But there were so many weird times where, I mean, it was far more than normal, because I would sit there. I remember I had an apartment in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, and I would look over this square space that they had. And I remember I would sit there and watch other people, like, is this happening to everyone? And I just sit there and watch out my window, like, no, this is not happening. I go for a walk, boom, 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 light, light, light. What the hell? And that kind of eventually slowed down and then stopped as I got a bit older. But at those kind of teenage, high energy, emotional years and things like that, totally affected that shit. That's why I'm wondering if me kind of being in a state right now where I'm feeling energy just as high as those times, if that fucking light is being affected by that.
I don't know. I always thought my friend was crazy. Am I coincidence? Or like, once it did happen, I was like, we were really high.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa,
dude,
how did you do that?
See, that's what I should have been doing back then, is that, because then that would have given me a whole different perspective on the lights.
Right. But, I think this is amazing. I really appreciate my ability.
Yeah. I was just kind of like weirded out. I'd always have my headphones on when I'd be walking with my CD Walkman. And I just remember I'd be kind of jamming out. That was kind of my release. And that would always happen. It was weird. Maybe there's something there. I don't know.
I don't know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, it was June of 2012 and I had become interested in ghost hunting. I bought a spirit box and a K2 meter and began investigating my home, as I have had lots of paranormal experiences. Most of the time I would get voices coming from the spirit box saying, help us. I've read Lewis Charles' book, Helping Ghosts. It was a book that instructed you on how to send lost spirits into a light. So I was on a mission to help lost spirits cross over to the light. It was heartbreaking how many spirits that came through asking for help. I helped many spirits cross over. But one night, things changed. I was in the garage doing a spirit box session when a voice came over the spirit box and it said, I'm evil. I've included the audio below. Ooh.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
I think we're going to have to do a little searching for that after. At first, I was a bit scared, but the voice was not menacing sounding. And I replied, no, you're not evil and you're worthy of going to the light. I did not hear any reply from him, so I ended my session and went to sleep. After about 15 minutes of lying down, I started to feel vibrations starting at my feet and going all the way up to my head. I felt like something was shaking me from the inside out. I became very scared and asked it to stop. It did not. This went on and off throughout the night. Finally, it stopped and I was able to go to sleep. So I woke up the next morning still shaken by the previous night. I grabbed my cell phone to check my messages, as I do first thing every morning. And to my surprise, in the text box where I would have written a text to send to someone, there was a message that said, "I hope you slept well." I could not believe what I was reading and thought, how in the hell did the spirit was it able to manipulate my phone? Later that day, my wife called me and asked me about the text she had received from my number. I said I had not sent any texts today. She said, "Well, it came from your number, and it was only one word. Regret." I told her what had happened the previous night and promised her I did not send the text. Thankfully for me, she believed in ghosts, and she believed what I said. About 2 weeks later, I was in my bathroom shaving, and I felt a burning on my leg. I raised my pant leg up to see a human bite mark on the side of my lower leg. Then one of my children was taking a shower and said she felt burning on her back, but not from the water. I looked at her back, and she had scratch marks up and down her back. A few years before this happened, I had a paranormal group investigate my house, in which they did catch several EVPs, and I called in one of the investigators that were involved and told her what was going on. She came to my house that weekend and blessed my home. She put oil above the doorway, smudged the house with sage, and wrote prayers on every door of my house. After she performed the blessing, the house felt much better. The evil entity had left and never returned. However, I still had other paranormal things happen, but no more malicious activities. Since then, I have not used the spirit box again. Thoughts on that one?
Hell no, would I use that spirit box again?
No.
Like all of that story was creepy, but the texting thing, like that would be really weird to get a text from your spouse that just says regrets.
That would be very bizarre.
Like, and then that whole, did you sleep well?
Yeah.
Like, what the F?
That would be very bizarre. I'm getting the audio so we can hear the "I am evil." I'm pulling that down right now.
I don't know if I wanna.
You can mute your headphones for a moment if you want. It's your call. I'll give you the cue. I'm pulling it into the sound thing now. It's about 16 seconds in length.
Okay, I'm gonna listen to it.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this. I can't hear it very well.
There you go.
I heard it. At first I thought it was that, don't play it again. So if you play it again and everybody wants to hear it, I'm going to take my headphones off.
I can make a mixtape of
it.
I'm evil. You know, put some beats to it. It'd be great. Yeah.
But at first I thought it was the guy. I wasn't ready for him to be talking. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize that at first either. But no, yeah, it was just him it was him on the beginning front part. But that, yeah, those are just so weird how clearly those things can get picked up, and it's spooky.
That, I think, of all of the stories I've listened to, I think that was the creepiest one. Just because we had audio to go with it.
Yeah.
It was like, holy shit, that was creepy.
It made me think of something that was funny that I looked on my phone tonight and thought, well, this could be taken really bizarrely if someone looked at it the wrong way or did it and have any context. I have I've updated my iPhone to the thing where you can have the bigger widgets and stuff, and I have a to-do list on there because my to-do list and my calendar is my brain, essentially. And I have a to-do list for work stuff. And one of the things on there is if no one knew what it was and I then answered who this was, it could be looked at very badly. It says, do video for Bridget. Now, what is that? If you ask who's Bridget, it makes it even worse because it's Bridget from the Playboy Mansion, from the Girls Next Door, Bridget Marquardt. Because she wanted me to do a video for her podcast. They were doing like a best of the year thing or whatnot. And she asked if I could do a little ghost story or something. And it completely slipped my mind and I never got it done. But because that's how well my to-do list works. But it's just like, so it says you're doing a video for a Playboy? Like, Actually,
that's
yes.
really that's pretty good because that doesn't usually goes the other way.
Yeah, I know.
So I think you must have some skills. That would be like highly impressive, Tony.
It was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, that could be taken wrong in the wrong situations. But I just kind of laughed at that tonight. I'm like, that's funny. That could really be looked at as bad. But it's
or
not.
Like I've Googled things before and I'm like, okay, so if I die suddenly and they're doing a deep dive forensically on my computer, please tell them the reason.
Context.
I looked that up as I saw it on Oprah first. It was something years ago where you could like tighten up everything down south, and I never had heard of it at that point.
So Google away.
And I was Googling it with my boss because I was telling her about it. I'm like, have you heard about this? So I'm in my office and so we're both talking about it and we're laughing about it. And then it hit me. I'm like, man, if I get murdered or something happens or I'm suspected of murder and they come looking at my computer, you please tell them I saw it on Oprah.
That's great. So one of the many times I heard you two down the hall laughing, it was because that's what was going on. That's great.
It was like, really? Really? You can, oh, yeah, you can do Jesus. That.
There were some good times there, certainly. That was fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story says, this is a true story with people that will collaborate with the truth. This corroborate the truth. This happened in the late 1960s. My mom, uncle, grandmother, and a cousin of my mother's were home together on a weekend night. It was said to be a great time. Everyone laughing and eating a lot of junk food and staying up late. My mom's cousin brought a spirit board with her into her overnight bag with her PJs. Everyone gathered in the kitchen table. By this time, it was late at night. They started asking questions and getting answers and blaming each other for pushing to the letters on the board. All of them said they were not moving it. They continued playing. My mother just recently got engaged to a man that she dated all through high school. His name was Curtis. I probably misspelled that. Anyway, they asked who she was going to marry, and it spelled out Harry. They asked who she was in love with, and it spelled out Harry. Meanwhile, they were laughing. My mother was getting angry because she thought they were pushing it on purpose not to spell Curtis, her longtime boyfriend, and the guy she was going to marry. They asked who she was going to have children with, and it spelled out Harry. By this time, my mother was over playing this game, so they stopped and put the game away in the box and went to bed. They never discussed it, and everyone forgot about the game. 2 weeks later, and again at the weekend, my mother went to a restaurant to hang out in town with younger people. Can't remember the name, with a couple of friends. One of them saw a friend and ran over and started talking. My mother and her other friend went and sat at the table. My mom looked up and saw her friend was at the table with her friend she was talking to and introducing him to the two of them that were there. His name was Harry, my father. She's told me that at first she never thought about his name, but as soon as she met him, she was attracted to him. They all, of course, sooner or later remembered the night of them playing with the spirit board in my dad's name that kept coming up again and again. Before my dad, my mother never knew anyone named Harry. Since then, my grandmother died, but the rest of them in the story are still alive. I always think about the story around Halloween. I love telling it to the next generation of our family. It's now a family tradition to talk about it in October. By the way, my mother has never touched a spirit board since that night, and she says she never would touch one again. They are not toying. Well, how interesting is that, your first sign of who you're going to marry came through the Ouija board?
Well, when first they get out the spirit board, I was like, oh, great. This is going to be one of those stories, and it's going to creep me out. And it was kind of delightful.
It was.
I mean, it's probably the most delightful Ouija board story I've ever heard.
I think they should incorporate Ouija boards into more weddings. Have a Ouija wedding where, just to cut to the chase of the whole thing, when you're up there, you're about ready to say your I do's, right before you go to the Ouija board and you ask it one simple question, will this last? And it either goes to yes or no. And then it's up to you if you want to choose your own adventure. And then you do keep track of this and see, Is the Ouija board right or is it not? And then eventually people are going to be like, you know, the Ouija board's got like a 98% batting average here. You really may want to consider just save yourself some heartache. Do the Ouija board at the wedding and know right then. And if it goes to no, everybody's like, oh, my God. It's like, well, we already paid for catering. Big party, everybody. And then, you know, everybody goes their separate ways.
Well, I'd be like, OK, no. And then I'd be like, all right, how can one more question? How many years, maybe?
Yeah.
Five? Okay. All right. I'll give you 5 years.
You make your considerations then. Yeah. According to Ouija.
Will this end horribly? Yes. Okay. Let's stop. What the hell?
Yeah.
I've had too many bad relationships.
Here's one that should have been a Ouija wedding. It was a Ouija wedding. I think I coined a new phrase. When I was in high school, I would DJ, you know, weddings and that sort of shit. And I remember one that I did, and I was getting set up, and they're in the hall and they're having their dinner and all that shit. And the bride and groom are kind of arguing, you know, and it's not looking good. And then some people are giving their speeches, and there's kind of some poking going on back and forth that is not being received well. And we start the dance and all that, and then we get to the thing where it's the first slow dance. And quite literally, they get out there, they're on the dance floor, and all of a sudden she slaps him.
No.
And walks out of the hall, gets in her car, and drives away. Never comes back. And
she found out he'd been cheating on her. I'll guarantee you.
Probably. And it I have no idea what happened, but the bride's parents were paying the check, and all these people were there, and it's Wisconsin and everyone drinks excessively. And
just because she left doesn't mean they can't stay to drink.
So the rest they said, they came up to me and I said, what do you want me to do? You know, do you want me to shut it? Do you want me to just shut this down? Or like, no, you know what? The people who are having a problem already left. We got all these people here and we're having a party. So play whatever you want. Let's just have fun. Just try and keep it upbeat. Okay, deal. So the first thing I go into is Meredith Brooks. Bitch.
Bitch.
And I don't know. I mean, it's probably inappropriate. I don't know what the circumstances were. Maybe she had every single right to get the fuck out of there. But it was, you could tell there was a lot of issues. A lot of animosity actually seemed more pointed towards her than him by the crowd that was there. So I don't know. I don't know what that all was about. But
oh my God, I wish you could have found out.
I know.
Amazing.
It would have been funny to Facebook stalk them today and see where did that wedding ever work out for? Did you ever come back and like, you know, do it at the KFC or something to, you know, just finish this night off or what? But no. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this one. I don't think this is aired yet, but we shall find out. And hi.
Hello, Tony, Jenny, Harper, and of course, Carol. This is William, and I have a few stories to tell you. By far, the first is the most intense, for me at least. Just for reference, I am a few months shy of turning 40 this year, so my first encounter with something paranormal happened in 1997 when I was a sophomore in high school. Now I have tinnitus, the ringing in the ears all the time. So back then even I had it also. So like most people when they have this, I use fans and white noise pretty much all the time. And every single night I use it to sleep with. I also have a radio playing music, so my room is always having noise in there. I was asleep, not sure what time of the night, but it was in the middle of the night on a school night at that. Then I woke up, I looked around the room and I was wide awake. The fan and music were still playing, and then it happened. First, the fan and music stopped. We did not lose power, but the noises were gone. Then from downstairs, I heard both of my parents yelling to me in a very angry voice. Billy, come downstairs, said one of them. Then the other voice, "Billy, come downstairs now," said my other parent's voice. I'm not sure which was which. Then whatever it was that was doing that must have left, and the fan and radio came back on. Needless to say, I was pretty scared that night, and for a few days, I was not sure if it was going to return or what it even was. Of course, I got the usual dismissal. "Oh, you were just dreaming." No, I wasn't. My parents were asleep in their room and they didn't hear it. I was wide awake all night. I know to other stories this is very mild, but still, it was my very first encounter with something like this. After this, nothing really happened for a few years, after high school at least. Then I had some lesser, but still some paranormal, I would consider, things happen. For example, I would be sleeping and have a very normal dream. A few days later or so, I would be in town, let's say at a restaurant, and see two people talking at another table, and they looked very familiar. I would get a bit cloudy and not really sure what was going on, but this is because I knew I saw them before. And in my head, I said what one person was going to say before they said it. It was very weird. Another example would be, a woman would be walking down the street and drop something. I knew she was going to do that before she did. I never warned them or brought it up. I just went about my day, thought it was weird, and just moved on. Then I started to get very overwhelming feelings of energy. I would know someone was coming, but I could not tell you who at first. The energy would go from my head all the way down to my toes, and I could feel it move down my entire body when it did that, slowly. Like when you put something over your head, like a big poncho or something, and you can just feel it move down your body. After a bit, when I was feeling like this, the name of the person would come into my head. It would just pop in there. And then a few minutes later, they would just arrive. When they did come in person, I did feel all the energy in my body just leave me, and I went back to normal. This happened a lot in my very late teens and early to mid-20s. It is like how you just are thinking about someone and they call. But usually people don't get a mass flow of energy right before it happens like I did. Mine was always very overwhelmingly full with energy, and it was always the person coming in person. They never called or they didn't text, they always saw them in person. So for my next actual paranormal story, it was again not too intense, but it still happened. In 2009, I was working construction on the lake, and one night I had another paranormal event. This was the last one as of today that I remember having. I was sleeping in this time in a different room. Now in this room, to the left-hand side of the bed, when you were in it, there is a single nightstand. And on that had a lamp. This lamp is the style that you had to slide the bar to turn it on and off. It wasn't a turn or a light switch or anything else. It was a sliding bar. So I turn it off and go to sleep. At 3 a.m. on the dot, I wake up because the lamp is turning on and off. Not a flicker, but totally on, wait a few seconds, then turned off. Then I keep repeating this. The bar on the lamp that was you slide was not sliding in any way, but the lamp was still totally on and off. This did not scare me, it just confused me more than anything. So I turned it off and went back to sleep. At 5 a.m., I woke up and it was doing it again. I just looked over and said, "I have to work in 2 hours and please stop." After this, whatever was messing with my lamp never did it again. Okay, so that's the end of my immediate stories. I do have a few others to go, and I know my parents have had some, you know, mild to medium things that have happened. My mom, back in the 60s, went to actually see like one of those fortune teller psychics, and she gave her some type of story that ended up being coming true to an extent. So I could always say that one later. It was pretty interesting. So just let me know what you think and what your interpretation, especially the first one. That was the most extreme. This may sound a little weird because I was reading from my own text here that I typed up first to get the story out, and then it didn't go exactly as planned. This is my first time trying to record with a microphone, so I'm learning a lot. If you decide to put this into the show, it would be amazing if Tony could read it, or I will send this audio file in, whichever you prefer. I'll do both. Thank you for your time and love the show.
I don't think I have the reading version, but I think he shared it well. So thoughts?
I think he has an amazing voice, and he should always read his own stories.
Yeah, you're a good one.
I think that was great.
Thank you for giving me a break from reading.
You know, like that whole, the ringing of the ears story and the fan, I'm like, God, the guy is describing me.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like, well, crap, that's going to happen to me tonight because, you know, but that to me felt very paranormal.
Yeah.
The other things, well, that's kind of, I don't know if that is as much paranormal as it is some sort of other ability, that like some sort of psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I think there's more than one thing going on.
Yeah, I think so too. You probably got someone who's, you know, very empathic or sensitive or something that can pick up on things, you know, better than others. So some of those things are going to stand out more than they would to the average person, especially with the that feeling that he gets of just, oh my gosh, I know this person's going to be here. Something's going to happen. And then boom, it's there. That's a weird thing, you know? And I was talking about that on, I don't know, some show not long ago. It was, you know, do we have the ability to communicate with someone else? You know, are we sending off a signal that we're coming that way, or we're going to be there? Because sometimes people will have that sense of this person, I need to talk to them or whatnot, or I'm going to be there. Are we kind of beacons that are giving off these signals, and then certain people do pick them up? I wonder about that sometimes.
Yeah, I think, I mean, but I obviously most of us don't have that ability.
No.
But I think it's probably happened to a lot of, it's happened to me. I think it's probably happened to a lot of people. It's that inner voice, but yeah. His is different. You know, like sometimes I always say, listen to that inner voice. If you get a weird feeling, it's like you start to walk down the dark alley and you have a weird feeling. Don't walk down the damn dark alley.
Yeah.
You know, listen to that inner voice, because I do think that you have a way of picking up on stuff like that. Because if you get a bad feeling about something, go listen to that bad feeling.
Yeah.
But his isn't like that. It was like just kind of knowing things before they were going to happen, and it'd be a very physical feeling instead of that, I kind of have this weird feeling about this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there are two things, but I also think if someone's like that, you would be more open to paranormal things.
Yeah.
There, you know, I think your mind opens in ways that, like, mine doesn't.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting.
It was. And so, yeah, please do share more of your stories with us. And
read them yourself. Yeah. Tell them yourself. Your voice is great.
Thank you for you sent in an audio file that way. And if anyone else wants to send their stories in that way, too, other than the phone line, you can always record it on your device and then send me the file. Just send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. You like the show? Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes. It's all commercial free, ebook, audiobook. It's all in there. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. We'll be right back.